Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for a More Utopian. Is it proper to say more utopian?
Isn't like utopian more, is
more perfect. Like more perfect.
Be more perfect. Right. Yeah. Well,
more utopian society here at Car Talk.
Maybe it's more. Sir Thomas More, utopian society.
Anyway, here's an idea that has been proposed to us by a listener named Eric Schaefer. We would add that he sent it by email, so he might not be proposing it. He might be stealing the idea from someone else. How would we know? Why would we care?
Why would we care? It doesn't matter. You can steal everything.
Here's Eric's idea. Here's Eric's idea. Go ahead.
Here it is, and it knocks your socks off when you hear it. Stupid people should have to wear a sign that says, "I'm stupid." That way you wouldn't rely on them, would you? I mean, you wouldn't ask them anything. It would be like, "Excuse me, oops, never mind, I didn't see your sign." It's like before my wife and I moved from Texas to California, our house was full of boxes and there was a U-Haul truck in our driveway. My neighbor comes over and says, "Hey, moving?" No, we just pack up our stuff once or twice a week, see how many boxes it takes, and then we put it back in the house. Here's your sign. I'm stupid. A couple of months ago, I went fishing with a buddy of mine. We pulled his boat into the dock. I lifted up this big old stringer of bass, and the idiot on the dock says, "Hey, y'all catch them fish?" "No, I talked them into giving up. Here's your sign." Last time I had a flat tire, I pulled into one of those side-of-the-road gas stations. The attendant walks out, looks at my truck, looks at me, and says, "Tire go flat?" I couldn't resist. I said, "Nope. I was driving around, and the other three just swelled up. I don't know what happened. Here's your sign." I'm stupid. It's so simple.
Yeah.
Well, I would, however, have to wear one.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, and how would you select people? Would they have to be, like, nominated, or it's just a self-selection
thing? No, I think everyone's given a supply of signs.
And you just hang them on people.
Just like Eric. And you hand them out, and if someone hands you one, you got to wear it for at least a month.
Yeah, I mean, if someone hands you one, it obviously means you need it.
Right.
It might
be just temporary, fleeting stupidity.
It might be, but usually it isn't, is it?
No. And no, not usually.
It usually lasts a lifetime, doesn't it?
Well, in your case,
in my case, it has.
Anyway, if you have any life-altering ideas that you want to share with us, or you just want to talk to us about your car or anything else, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 8-882-2-782-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Ben from Northwood, New Hampshire.
Ben!
Have you got a car problem? Here, where's my sign? Where'd you say you're from?
Northwood, New Hampshire.
Northwood.
That sounds like it's way, way up in the Northwoods.
It's actually not that far north at all.
Oh.
It's kind of towards mid-New Hampshire, around Concord and Portsmouth.
Oh, did they give a sign to the guy who named this one?
Yeah, okay.
All right, we're ready. So
what's up, Ben, baby?
Well, it's kind of an argument that I'm having with my girlfriend.
Should never argue with your girlfriend.
I know, but I can't let this one go. It's
You can't, huh?
Well, it's all about, I have a 1979 Rabbit diesel. Because of these cold mornings that we have in New Hampshire, I'm forced to plug my car in, so it's easier to start in the morning.
Right.
And then I start up, let the heat take about an hour to warm the car up.
So you just let the thing idle in the driveway?
Yeah.
And while you're shaving or having breakfast or whatever you do in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, because of the new wind chill factor, my girlfriend thinks that I need to start my car up earlier because she believes the car is aware of the wind chill factor. And I'm not buying this at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just need your help. Please tell me that the car does not know what wind chill factor is, because that would terrify me.
Well, it depends on whether or not your car has feelings.
Yeah, VWs, they don't have feelings because they're made in Germany. Fiats, on the other hand, are very sensitive.
Very emotional.
Very sensitive to wind chill factor. Fiats, Alfa Romeos, stuff like that. Any car made in Mexico, for example, would be susceptible to wind chill effects.
I see. Yeah.
But, you know, those Teutonic countries like Germany.
Sweden, too.
Well, the Swedes, I'm not so sure. I don't know about that. But Germany, no. Not that I'm prejudiced.
They're tough.
Not that I'm prejudiced. Well, I mean, how are we going to handle this, Ben?
Delicately. I mean, you don't want to offend your girlfriend. On the other hand, you could give her a sign.
I could give her a sign. She could give me the boot.
Yeah, I mean, of course you're right. Because wind chill is specifically, how does it feel? So that when it's 0 degrees and the wind is blowing at 40 miles an hour, it feels like it's minus 30 degrees, not the real temperature of zero.
Right, if only because the cold air can penetrate your Bronco-Nagurski long underwear more readily when it's blowing at 30 miles an hour than when there's no wind.
And that does have a very minor effect on the car. And that minor effect is this. If you park the car, everything is going to cool off much faster. So you stop the engine and everything in there is hundreds of degrees. For example, just the coolant is 250 degrees or something. And within a very short time, it's going to be zero if the temperature outside is zero. And that short time is going to be shorter if the wind is blowing. But once it gets to zero, the wind can keep blowing, and it ain't going to get any colder for the car.
Wonderful.
So now the question is, are you going to tell her this and make her feel stupid?
Well, that is a...
That's always a problem, isn't it? I mean, we people who are so much smarter than everybody else, we have the problem of wanting to tell them. And when we do, we don't make any friends.
No.
Right? And so, I've I've suffered this through my entire life.
Oh, he has. He has to tie a pork chop around his neck to get the dog to play with him.
I mean, I got a brother who's just between you and me, Ben. He's a couple of sandwiches short of a whole picnic.
Oh, we have another brother? I didn't even know.
Here's your son. I don't know what to do, Ben. I mean, you can just basically kiss this girlfriend goodbye, literally, if you want to tell her this.
I might suggest that it would be helpful for a third party to introduce the correct answer to this.
Ooh.
While you even, in fact, try to support her position, and you say, oh, geez, yeah, I guess you are right. I guess wind chill doesn't really affect internal combustion engines.
But get out of my house anyway.
Right. See you, Ben.
And get out of my house. You got it, Ben.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Ben, you're absolutely right. And get out of my... Yeah, that's about it.
1-888.
So many wives have done that. Oh, never mind.
882. What's the number? 882.
Yeah, good.
278-255. Something like that.
2782. Yeah, that's right.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Anonymous from Pasadena, California.
Hi, Ann. How you doing? I know your brother.
Anonymous from Pasadena.
Anonymous.
What's up, yeah. Ann?
Well, we have a Buick Century, and it has a couple problems that I wanted to ask you about.
Sure.
And the first being that whenever we put it into reverse, it chunks into gear.
Boom.
Now, you don't mean chunks. You mean clunks.
It goes chunk into gear.
No, that's clunk.
Well, to me it sounds more like a chunk.
If it's chunk.
And if it's a chunk to you, it's a chunk to us. What's a chunk or a clunk between friends?
Chunk is a noun, and clunk can be either, like affect and effect. It's a clunk.
So go ahead, Ian.
Okay. What about this noise?
Anyway, it doesn't make this noise or this feeling in the car when you put it into forward gear, only in reverse. Well, we took it to a mechanic, and among other things, they found that the transmission casing was cracked. So they put in a rebuilt transmission, and they added a stage one
amplifier
shift kit. Okay, and the
did they add the raccoon tail to the antenna and the pom poms in the back?
No.
Okay. Mm.
Well, anyway. The transmission shifts a lot better in a lot of ways now, but
it's still
it still chunks into reverse.
You mean clunks, don't you, Ann?
Yes, it still crunks into reverse. And the reason it crunks into reverse
is that they didn't fix what was wrong with it.
What was wrong with it?
Because they were meatballs.
No, they weren't meatballs.
They were
smarter than Ann.
They
got her money.
They got more money than we got.
They undoubtedly fixed the wrong thing. What's wrong is that you have either a bad universal joint.
Uh-huh.
Or you have just too much lash in the differential gears.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but neither one of which is anything to worry about. Well, they might have had the drive shaft out, and they may have noticed that you had a bad universal joint. And if they did, they could have taken all your money and fixed that problem, too, and you would have been delighted, and you wouldn't have been calling us now. However, they didn't do that, and you should get it to some place where they can take the drive shaft out and make sure that the universal joints are not going to fall out. Does the car vibrate at high speeds? If you take it up to, like, you know, 25, 30, 40. Yeah. Does it go... Does it feel like a motorboat?
No, it doesn't vibrate at high speeds, but what it does, and that was my other question, is when you get it up to about 35 or 45, and this especially shows up on the freeway, it sounds like a cave full of Nibelungen. And
a who?
The Nibelungen, you know, the little dwarves that, in Wagner's opera.
I'm not up
just,
on Wagner.
Just this morning I was... Except we call him Wagner here.
Honus Wagner.
Well, anyway, it really sounds like, you know, like this whole cave of these little dwarves are chopping away at our engine.
I think that's a separate problem, but it might not be. But seriously, and, Anonymous, listen. Listen,
yes?
Wait, before you run away.
Okay.
This could be serious.
She's not running away. She's tied up someplace.
No, this could be serious, because if you do, in fact, have a really bad U-joint, if it's making a big, as you say, crunk, mm-hmm. It could break.
Uh-huh.
And it would be not good if it did.
Okay.
No, that's what's wrong with your car. You have a bad universal joint. That's contributing to the crunk and the noise.
Crunk?
Okay.
The crunk, or the clunk, yeah.
Or the chunk.
Chunk.
But you should have someone look at it. Do not drive at high speed to get it to where you're going.
Okay.
And yeah, drive it, on the freeway.
Do it like tomorrow.
Okay.
Seriously.
Every freeway I've ever driven on, you can only drive at 12 miles an hour anyway.
That's
so
right.
That's the safest place to be.
That's the safest place to be, and you have lots of company.
Okay.
If you break down, there's no trouble hitching a ride.
Okay.
Thanks, Ann, and check it right away.
Thanks for your call, Ann.
Okay, bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Carl Jensen here, calling from Austin, Texas.
No Hi. Last names, Carl. What's up?
Well, I bought about 3 or 4 months ago a car of my dreams. It's a 1975 Rolls-Royce Silver Shadow.
Oh.
Oh, I love it.
You all right?
The price wasn't too bad, but the servicing is just killing me on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rolls-Royces are supposed to be very, very silent, but this one has a wind noise coming out of the right passenger door.
Mm.
Well, I went up to the Rolls-Royce dealer. I was on business up in Dallas. Didn't have the car with me. But I asked them what the price of a new door seal would be, and they said, oh, like $200, $300 plus tax.
But, and then you asked them how much a roll of duct tape was. Right?
if you get a Rolls-Royce duct tape, is that like $100 a roll?
$80.
Does it say Rolls on it?
Yes, it's a Rolls.
A Rolls of duct tape.
So I'm sorry to have interrupted your saga, Carl, but continue.
Well, anyway, but the parts man there suggested that before I do that I try just bending the window frame in a little bit. He felt it was a very acceptable procedure, but I just can't bring myself to bend the window frame on a Rolls Royce.
I want you to actually bend the
yeah.
frame itself, the door. Yeah, bend the door.
Yeah, the part of the door which houses
yeah.
the window. The very he wants
sure.
you to bend the top left-hand corner of it if you were standing there looking at it.
Yeah. Okay, do you think I can do that without hurting it?
Well, what I usually try to do is lower the garage door onto it. Open it.
Yeah, no, the truth is you can do that. I mean, all you're going to do, you're not going to really bend it, because bending would mean you're going to get a crimp in the door. You're not
going to
bend it.
You're going to twist it.
Yeah,
you're going to
sort
adjust
of.
It.
Exactly. And I would try that. How much noise does it make? I mean...
Oh, it's certainly noticeable.
It is.
Yeah, you know, and I checked the alignment of the door and all, and it looked as though... You know, it was lined up all right, but I don't know.
If while you're moving along, you can pull on the door from the inside, can you get the noise to stop?
Oh, you know, I haven't tried that. I'll try that.
Yeah, we'll try to get someone else to do it.
Yeah, maybe they can do it from the outside. But right, have someone else drive the car, and you pull on that top, that little corner, that corner of the door.
Okay.
And see if you can get the noise to stop, and that'll tell you that bending the frame will work. If it doesn't work... then the duct tape is definitely my solution. That works very well.
Okay.
Oh, you could just sort of seal up that whole door.
Yeah.
With, like, what's that stuff that kids play with?
Silly putty.
Silly putty.
Oh.
Yeah. Just seal it, and just don't use that door. You can just slide in from the other. Is this a right-hand drive or a left-hand drive?
Left-hand drive.
Left-hand drive. Right. So that's the driver's side anyway that you would get into. Just passengers would have to sneak under the steering wheel. mean, it's only a Rolls.
No, how long have you had
lighten
this?
Up, will you?
How long have you had this thing, Carl?
Oh, 3-4 months.
Yeah. Other than this, has it been everything you had hoped it would be?
Oh, more than that.
It is, huh?
Just the finest quality of craftsmanship and materials. It's so fun just to sneer at the Mercedes drivers.
Well, I knew a guy once who came into a lot of money. I think he was a drug dealer. And he decided he wanted to buy a Rolls. And he went to the Rolls dealer. He said, I sat in the car, and I couldn't help myself. I started to giggle. He said, it was so outrageously luxurious that I couldn't help myself. So do you find yourself giggling when you get in your car?
Oh, better than that.
Really?
It's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
I giggle whenever I get into my 63 Dodge Dart also. Everyone around me is giggling at this, as a matter of fact.
Well, now I'm the nouveau poor, though, yeah. Now that I've spent the money on this, but it's well worth it.
Well, that's all right.
Good luck to you, Carl. Have a wonderful time driving the sweetheart.
Good. Thanks for your help.
All right,
sure.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hey, brother dear, do you happen to remember last week's puzzler?
No, I don't. Maybe you could jog my memory a bit?
Well, maybe we ought to start with walking it before we jog it. In fact, let's start with crawling.
Come on, give me just a hint.
All right. It had to do with laying an egg.
Well, that doesn't narrow it down. That describes all the puzzlers you give us.
Actually, an egg and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be back with the ovoid details and more of your car questions in just a minute.
That's right. Out on the highway in my hot rod Ford, talking to the devil and praying to the Lord that the devil won't take me and the Lord will save my soul while my hot rod's beating out the rock and roll to the hot rod boogie. Hot rod boogie. To the hot rod boogie. Hot rod boogie. To the hot rod boogie, shaking to the rock and roll. I saw something coming at a terrible pace. I thought right then that he wanted to race. So I shoved it to the floor and said, but that's in my soul. While my hot rod's pounding out the rock and roll. Do the hot rod boogie. Hot rod boogie. Do the hot rod boogie. Hot rod boogie. Do the hot rod boogie. Shaking to the rock and roll. And even though hibernating bears wake up and swat at their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time free of charge. Visit betterhelp.com/cartalk to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
If you're into science, but you need a break from the coronavirus, NPR Shortwave has your back. Whether we're talking about how scientists measure Mount Everest or spiders that hang out underwater, we promise you'll have fun and learn something. Subscribe to Shortwave, the daily science podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And
yeah,
this was a very simple puzzler, or so it seemed.
Lay it on us, as they say.
Oh, that was bad, dude. What was nice about it is it was brief, at least.
Yeah, it was.
Here it is. A chicken and a half can lay an egg and a half in a day and a half. How long will it take for two chickens to lay 32 eggs? Now, everyone groans when they hear these kinds of puzzles.
A week and a half.
A week and a half. Because it reminds them of the PSATs, you know, those kinds.
Yep.
Of, you know, it's, oh, God. But I'm going to tell you how to think about this kind of problem so you'll never get stymied again.
Yeah.
Maybe. Until the next time.
Okay, go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah.
If a chicken and a half can lay an egg and a half in a day and a half, let's double the number of chickens. Three chickens, right?
Yeah.
How many does three chickens lay?
Now there are three chickens.
Lay three eggs, right? Because one and a half chicken laid one and a half eggs. Three chickens lay three eggs in how long?
That's the question.
Exactly.
In a day and a half.
In a day and a half, exactly.
Yeah.
Not 3 days.
No.
No, because if I said if one chicken laid one egg in a day, six chickens lay six eggs in a day.
A day.
So if we have three chickens laying three eggs in a day and a half, then clearly one chicken lays one egg in a day and a half.
Yeah.
How about two chickens? What do? Two chickens lay two eggs.
Two eggs.
In a day and a half. And two chickens will lay four eggs in how long?
I don't know.
Well, twice as many days.
Yeah.
3 days.
It is three.
Right? So if two chickens can lay four eggs in 3 days, then two chickens can lay 32 eggs in 24 days.
Yeah.
Right? Because 8 times 4 is 32 eggs.
Yeah.
Right? And 8 times 3 is 24.
24.
Got it?
I got it.
Well, it looks like Mayer got it. Cronin got it. She was even on the phone and she got it. Berman's scratching his head. Now he's scratching his butt, so I don't know what that means. But the key to this thing is going from the step of saying a chicken and a half does an egg and a half in a day and a half to three chickens doing three eggs in a day and a half. And from that, you determine that one chicken does one egg in that same day and a half.
Exactly.
And then the rest is pretty easy.
Exactly.
Because then if one chicken does one egg in a day and a half, then two chickens clearly do two eggs in a day and a half.
That's right.
We know that, right?
That's right.
And then two chickens do four eggs in twice as much time, which is not a day and a half, but rather 3 days. And if two chickens can lay four eggs in 3 days, those same two chickens will lay 32 eggs in 24 days.
Exactly.
Pretty cute, huh?
I have to say, I think most people are mystified by problems like this.
Well, I'm glad I was able to. Usually, I'm the one doing the mystifying. I'm glad that for once I was able to demystify.
I think you demystified, which is one of the few times that you have.
It won't happen again.
I know that.
Do we have a winner?
Yeah, we do. The winner this week is Nancy Dorsey from Arlington Heights. Guess where?
Illinois.
Yeah, that's right. Arlington Heights, Illinois, and for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Nancy is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. Now, this is a prize, boy. There, she can get an embroidered CarTalk baseball hat. Now that football season is wrapping up, we can start pushing the baseball stuff all over again.
Absolutely. And we're gonna have a brand new, I would say, semi-automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. That's a hint, so stick around for that. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, feel free to call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jane from Enfield, Connecticut.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm so glad you're there because I need the source authority. I went last spring to have my Cutlass Sierra tuned up. A friend of mine said, go, this guy's so reliable, so honest, go there, have it tuned up. $59 special. So I went there, had it tuned up, and of course the mechanic comes forward, and he says to me, you really need a purge valve. And I looked blankly at him, and he said, sure, we're going to do it for you. You're really going to need this. You'll never pass your admissions. So I let him do it, and instead of $59, I ended up with $146. And I drove home, and then I ran into my friend, and I said to him, yeah, I ended up getting a purge valve.
And he said, me too.
Yeah, and he looked at me blankly, and I looked at him, and I said, gee, I thought I was the only ignorant one, because, of course, I know nothing about cars except putting the key in. And since then, I go to my health club, and I talk to these older gentlemen, and they know about cars, and I mention this, and it's become kind of a joke, the purge valve, and they all laugh and or look blankly or and
are these all people who have frequented this very honest mechanic?
Yes, these are all people in the local town who sort of, but now they look sheepishly at me. And then I went to the emissions control in December and I went past through, and this is run by women, it's very efficient, and when I was doing it I said to her, how about, you know, my purge valve is okay. She says, you're what? And she called the other woman. She says, what are you talking about? And I said, purge valve. I had to get a new purge. And they go, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And, of course, this word runs through my head. And, of course, now that you're there, I said, there's a source of authority. I can call them, and I will feel like, did I get snookered for $80 or...
87, I just calculated.
Oh, no.
Well, if you don't count the tax, what's the tax rate in Connecticut? About 24%?
Yeah, and so I'm walking around thinking, you know, who do you trust? Can I go back there? And it's just this expression comes to mind, purge, Val. I'm the only one in the world I know with one. And
well, no, everybody has one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, everyone,
they usually don't break?
Everyone should have one. No, they don't usually break. But what the purge valve does is it purges the charcoal canister of vapors.
Charcoal?
Yeah. You probably didn't know you had one of those either.
All the fumes that are collecting in the gasoline tank used to just be vented to the atmosphere.
Back in the good old days.
In the good old days, like in the 1963 Dodge Dartra version. But in current day versions of cars, those vapors all get circulated into a little canister and they get collected.
So we can have a nice clean atmosphere.
That's important.
To breathe, you know, so that purge
valve. And then when you drive your car into your garage, it purges all those fumes into the garage so they don't go into the street.
No, the purge valve actually introduces all those stored vapors that have been absorbed by the charcoal, and it allows those vapors to get sucked in with the incoming fresh charge, and the stuff gets burned. How we determine you needed one, I don't know. Maybe you didn't need one. He may have gotten a special on purge valves. He may have bought a case of them, and he needed to get rid of a few.
I'm not sure how you would know that you needed a purge valve.
It was probably broken.
Yeah, and he would normally check that in your tune-up?
No. He would notice things that were broken.
Oh.
He's not, well, first of all, you got to understand that at $59, he's not exactly breaking the doors of the bank down with his deposits, you know, from these tune-ups.
Right.
So he has to have some other source of income.
Yeah, well, that's what so he has to do this quickly. I mean, he had it in mind. We better check the purge valves.
Well, like I said...
Well, if you have a case of them, I guess that's what you would do.
Oh,
I mean, from time to time, we have specials, too. I mean, we hit upon a new diagnosis. You know, we come across something like the...
The choke pull-off.
Choke pull-off.
We replaced 2,000 choke pull-offs in 1 month last year.
on cars that didn't even have them.
Cars that had fuel injection.
But you probably needed it.
I really
if it makes you feel... And,
this is reassuring.
And you can be reassured that, indeed, you have one, and so do all these other people who gave you blank stares.
Oh, good. This is makes me feel informed.
Now you know, Jane.
Yeah.
The
I
rest
know,
of the story.
Can...
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Good luck, Jane.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Miriam in Pittsburgh.
Hi, Hi. Miriam.
I have a Ford Festiva.
You poor thing.
I know. I confess. I know. Every time we turn either the fan on or the lights on, it races. It roars. It's really loud. And we don't know why it does it. We took it to a mechanic, and he said it's the alternator, but he didn't instill a lot of confidence in us. So we took it to another mechanic, and he said it was all tuned up to factory specifications, and it makes such a noise when we turn on the lights.
On the lights, and the engine speed actually increases?
Yes.
And you turn on the blower?
Yes.
And the engine speed increases?
Yes.
What other accessory devices do you have?
We still turn on the radio.
Do you have wipers?
Yes.
That doesn't have any effect.
No, that doesn't have any effect.
What else do you have? No air conditioning.
No.
Air conditioning.
No.
Windows. You roll down the windows.
Power windows?
No.
No.
Anything else?
Rear window defogger?
No.
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 All right. So this is a bare bones car, and you're disturbed by the fact that you can take this to someone who should be a competent, qualified mechanic, and that person can't figure out something on one of the most basic cars on the road.
Yeah. You know why? Because they don't care.
Well, maybe they don't care.
They figure a Festiva isn't even worth thinking about.
Well, they figure people that own them are cheapskates. So if they were to present you with an estimate for repairs...
You wouldn't do it anyway.
Right. So why bother?
Right. They say, this is going to cost you $25. Ah, forget it. I can live with the noise.
But we'll help you, Miriam, because we know that you're distressed by this. Somewhere, what you have someplace is something called an idle-up solenoid. And the purpose of this thing is to sense when there's a load on the engine, either produced by some electrical draw or by some other device like power steering or air conditioning, which, of course, you don't have.
Right. See, when you turn on something like the lights, then it means that the alternator has to crank out more electricity.
Uh-huh.
When the alternator has to crank out more electricity, it puts a load on the engine. The engine has to work harder to make that electricity.
And the engine slows down.
It slows down. So the idle-up solenoid says, don't slow down because this piece of junk will stall, and it makes it speed up.
Except that someone has misadjusted the thing, so it's speeding it up too much. Instead of going from 800 RPM up to 950 or something, it's going up to 2,500.
Okay.
So, enough to make you notice that something's wrong.
Oh, you really can tell. Right.
And this is a simple solution.
Yeah, so take it back to these ding-a-lings.
Simple fix.
And ask them to adjust the idle up solenoid.
And if they say, what's that? Go somewhere else.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
And make
much.
Sure they check your purge valve while you're there.
Yahoo! Never mind. Don't pay any attention to them.
So long, Miriam.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Ben in Los Angeles.
Hi, Ben. What's happening, man?
Well, I got a typical male problem, unfortunately. Can I put it euphemistically?
Sure.
Let's say you're a single guy and you're going out with this wonderful woman from church and she's really great and you know you should stick with her, but then you meet this beautiful woman at a bar one night and you know she's going to be trouble, but you got to have her anyway. Well, that's what happened to me.
You sure you want to be talking to us?
Are you sure you called the right number?
I thought you could fix anything.
We'll give it a shot.
I have been driving my late father's wonderful old Bonneville for a year or so now. And since 1967, I've always wanted a Jaguar, and I've always had enough sense not to buy one until recently. And I drove by
until you met this floozy at the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. And I drove by this mini mall parking, this garage sale, you know, and wound up going home with an XJ6, and it's been in and out of the garage ever since.
Really?
And I mean, you know, a month after I bought it, it stopped in a park. It wouldn't start at a fancy parking lot. The next week, it died on the freeway. And you know, a week later, we're doing transmission things. It's jerking, but the mechanic says, "Oh, you can't do anything about that. It's driven by a computer. It gets a little moisture in it. It'll do that." You know, and the engine light goes on again, and it's another $300. And I'm wondering, I got it for a good price. I thought I'd actually, you know, negotiated a really good deal. You know,
so did the seller.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He got a better deal.
Well,
yeah.
I'm at the point now, 4 months in, where I mean, this car is so beautiful. Beautiful. It looks so great sitting in the garage, but it runs when it feels like it.
Yeah, well, it's just like that bleach blonde the floozy.
But there's so much fun, you know.
Well, I know, but high maintenance.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of surprised.
How many miles are on it?
78,000.
I mean, usually the classic Jaguar syndrome, I guess, has always been that the car was basically good, but it just came out of the factory with all kinds of funny little quirks. And over the course of some number of years, the poor person who bought it knew would have fixed them all.
Yeah.
This is a magnificent car. There's no question.
Yeah.
You may be going, are you going to the dealer?
Well, I took it to the dealer once, and he couldn't fix it. He gave it up. I took it over to an old Mercedes guy I know, and he said, I'll fix it.
Oh.
But my question to you guys is, you know, am I going to work out these things, or do Jags just go on having little quirks and fits all the time, and am I going to have to live with it, or do I get rid of it and go back to the Bonneville, which starts every day no matter what, you know?
The Bonneville will be there for you, Ben.
Well.
Well, I mean, based on my evidence, which is entirely anecdotal, I would say that it is going to get fixed, and it's not going to happen over and over again, because we keep hearing stories from people, and we have no hard evidence to support this, but people tend to tell us that after all the little quirks got fixed, the car is great.
So you're telling me I should have married the blonde?
I would. Or, in my case, marry them all.
Well, that's kind of encouraging.
Well, it's nice that you have room for both of them, and you have a reliable backup car.
Yeah.
It is such a great car that it is worth all the effort and inconvenience that you will have, but that's what life is all about, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if Blondie said to you, you know, I can't cook, you'd say, who cares?
Yeah. Look, I mean, who wants to cook?
Who's got time to eat? Yeah, whereas the Jaguar says, I can't start. And you say, who cares? You look great.
That's right.
Well, you know, find someone who really will love this car like you do. And you're in L.A. There are going to be lots of guys who work on Jags.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I would find a real Jaguar shop. It doesn't have to be the dealership.
Go to cartalk.com.
Ah, okay.
We have there something called the mechanics files. And you can search the files by L.A. and Jag.
Great, great.
And it'll tell you the names of people who've been recommended by visitors to the website.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I think if you find the right guy, you will be very happy with this. This is a great car.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I really love it.
Live it up.
Okay.
See you, Ben.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tommy. Look, we're about to embark on the weekly ritual that always makes our listeners happy.
The new puzzler?
No, a short break from us. But we will be back with the new puzzler in just a minute.
Passing days are gone, good times are past. We used to roll into town by a couple of rounds, a hotel room and a tank of gas. Now we're tightening our belts, we gotta make the pint of whiskey last. I've got the gasoline blues, you're
And even though the NPR lunch lady mixes up two Ipecac milkshakes whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR and Car Talk sponsor CarMax. Finding the right car takes time. And with the new Love Your Car guarantee from CarMax, you can take your time to make sure you found the perfect car for you. Starting with a 24-hour test drive. Drive it to work, school, and the grocery store before you buy. And if it feels right, you've got a full month and 1,500 miles to keep on driving with their new 30-day money-back guarantee. Learn more at the new Love Your Car guarantee from CarMax at CarMax.com.
If you're never quite sure how to answer the question,
where are you from?
NPR's Rough Translation might be the podcast for you.
Yes, finally, someone else.
Give us your accents and your origin stories, your cross-cultural misfits, yearning to just be. And listen to Rough Translation on NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and of course the new puzzler, which I said earlier was semi-automotive.
You did say that.
And it is. I think you'd have to agree.
I'll find out.
This was sent in by someone named Bill Kochuk. I don't know where Bill's from.
I used to watch his TV show.
Yeah, I did too. This is the guy with the shaved head, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I had to change it around and obfuscate it a little bit. I had to add 4 or 5 paragraphs of obfuscation and declarification. But
see, if only the people listening could figure out which part of it he sent in and yeah. which part of it you've got on that yellow sheet of paper.
Well, here it is. You're ready?
Yeah.
Last year.
He's on the yellow sheet.
No, I'm not even going to use his email. Last year, a friend of mine and his wife went on vacation to Key West, and they spent most of their time either sport fishing on the high seas or carousing on Duval Street. And my wife and I prefer a very different kind of vacation. We went hiking and camping and using Stone Age toilet facilities. And so we spent most of our vacation in the woods in California and the Pacific Northwest. When we had returned from our trips, we compared notes. I said to my friend that on our vacation, we saw something that, when written down, has all 5 vowels, and the vowels make up 5 of the 7 letters in the word. Okay.
A, E, I, O, and U were in the same word.
In the same word, 5 vowels, they were in the same 7-letter word. Mm-hmm. Okay? In fact, we saw not just one, but a few of these things. My friend said, when we got to Key West, we also saw something that, when written down, has all 5 vowels in its 7 letters. In fact, we saw quite a few of these as well. Each of us wrote down our 7-letter words, and then we exchanged papers. They were the same word. We both wrote down the same word. But what I saw and what he saw were very different things. The question is, what did each of us see? And there are all kinds of hints in here.
There are?
Hundreds. Or maybe 3.
There are hints.
There are hints. All the hints, 7-letter word, all 5 vowels. You know, think about where they went and... The fact that it's semi-automotive, all of those things are hints. Oh. I won't say any more, but if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of an authentic George Rhodes full-size audio-kinetic sculpture. And send it to...
It's getting interesting, isn't it?
Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, please give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Aaron. I'm calling from Oakland, California.
With two A's?
With two A's. And an R and an O and an
yeah,
A.
Yeah, we got that part.
So, Aaron, what's up?
Well, I drive an 89 Ford Probe. And
are you a proctologist? Never mind.
A couple of weeks ago, it started to mist. So I hit the little mist thing on my windshield wipers, and they did their thing, and I was able to drive on. But then it started to rain a little bit heavier, so I turned it on to intermittent.
Yeah.
And then I went into a tunnel where there was no rain, so I turned them off.
Mm-hmm.
And in the tunnel, they went to lie down like they always do when you turn them off.
Right.
And then as soon as they got into position, they stood straight up and pointed at the ceiling of the tunnel, and they've pointed that way ever since. Except when they're on, when they do what you hope that they'll do. Then you turn them off, they lie down for a second, and then they point straight up again.
Magnets.
Great.
Magnets.
Yeah.
And there's no place, no matter where you stop them, they now park straight up as opposed to
after
light.
First going to the real park position. Then they
right.
It's as though they're a football referee saying field goal.
Great.
Yeah. Well, you probably need a new wiper motor, Aaron.
A new wiper motor.
Yeah, because I think that's what's screwed up.
Jeez, but it would be fun to try to fix it, wouldn't it?
Well, you can try.
How would one go about trying?
You'd replace the wiper motor. No, I wouldn't know how to fix it. I mean, there is a possibility that it's not the motor, that there's some kind of a controller for the wipers. Some cars do have that, and you may very well, in fact, have one of those. So if you're going to do this yourself, you run the risk of buying the wrong part. The only solution to your problem, if you wanted to solve it, you could unplug the wiper motor. You'd have to do this while you were driving the car.
Yeah, that sounds plausible.
You could do this. You could, like, drill a hole through the windshield. You could stick your hand through it.
I'm just going to take off the door and hang out the side.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good. See, the thing is, you do need a new wiper motor, probably. But if you knew how to do it, all you would need is to go to Radio Shack and buy
a toggle switch
or a capacitor. And that would probably fix it, but who knows where?
Oh no,
where it is?
No, you'd probably
there's no way to do
you'd
it.
You'd set the car on fire too,
unless you wanted to play around endlessly. And you can do that.
But I would, you know, if you don't have the shop manual for the car, in a diagnostic chart, then I would go ahead and take it someplace because you're apt to replace the wrong piece. If you want to be daring, just go and buy yourself a wiper motor and put it in, because that's probably what's wrong with it.
Okay.
Okay, but don't blame us when you're on Stump the Chumps next week and you hear the music.
I certainly wouldn't blame you.
All right. See you, Aaron.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Isn't that a strange little problem? I've never seen windshield wipers do that.
Oh, no, I see it all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
This reminds me of some... Never mind.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-7825-5. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Rebecca.
Rebecca. Where are you from, Rebecca?
I am from Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Yeah, so what's up?
Okay, I'm having, I guess, part a car problem, but mostly a father problem.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm kind of calling for your help and mostly for you to exonerate me of my guilt toward him.
Really? Okay, well, let's see. Let's hear the facts first.
Anything you say could be prejudicial, so just give us bare facts.
I am being prejudicial. I'll say that in the beginning. My father is a very, to say it nicely, I guess, compulsive man.
I call it a prejudicial statement.
Yeah.
That's one strike against
you. And how does this compulsiveness manifest itself?
Well, it manifests manifests itself in a lot of ways, some in good ways and some that are extremely excruciatingly annoying. One of the good ways is when it comes to cars. He keeps the cars in the family up to tip-top shape. Everything is done perfectly. Nothing ever goes without an oil change, anything that needs to be done, he's on it.
Good. That's good. Every house needs one like that. Needs a person like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he takes it to a bit of an extreme, though, at least for me, because I don't share, I guess, as much as I should in his compulsiveness. But I've kind of reaped the benefits up until now, but I just graduated from college, and I'm kind of moving on, and I'm trying to figure out which strings to cut and which not to cut. And the purse...
Don't cut them money strings.
That's the problem. The purse strings, I don't want to cut, but I want to cut other strings. But what my father does is he keeps this stupid little book in the cars.
We're getting a little bit overwrought here, aren't we? Stupid little book. I wrote that down.
An SLB.
Yeah. So he keeps a stupid little book. And
half of the book's purpose, I understand. Every time you get an oil change or something, is
you write it down
and the mileage. I can do that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, every single time he gets gas.
Isn't that a pain in the butt? Well,
and he does the mileage right down to the tenth of a mile.
Hundredth
of a mile for the mileage.
Hundredth of a mile.
How many gallons you put in, how much it costs, and where you got it.
Oh, where you got it.
The town that you got it in.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know why it pains me so much, but it really kills me to do this.
Well, because you're not an anal retentive personality. That's why. And you're more of a free spirit. Yeah. Huh? You were trying not to use that term. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But my main problem is the closest my father has come to disowning me has been when I don't fill in the little book.
Wow.
And I just got back from a trip to Atlanta where I'm going to be moving in 2 weeks. And I got a job and everything. I came back, and my dad said, first thing he said to me within 5 minutes, I see you didn't keep up the little book.
Oh.
And I said, you know what, Dad? I made a conscious adult decision.
Rebecca! Wrong choice of words.
Rebecca!
Couldn't you just tough it out for two more weeks? What are you, nuts?
I made a conscious adult decision, and I can tell you, Dad, book this!
Well, his response back was, well, then I have just made a conscious adult decision.
Oh, yes, he would.
To not pay for anything else in the car again.
Oh.
And this week, the magic gash that usually appears, it hasn't appeared.
Yeah, and it won't. You did it, and you have to be happy that you did.
Well, okay. I don't know about it.
There's no road back. No road back.
There is a road back. It's you. You are the road back.
Oh, in other words, we are going to explain to him the irrationality of this behavior, and he will then realize that he's been too demanding on you.
Yes.
He will continue to pay for all your repairs and whatever, and you can enjoy the luxury of driving the car without his intervention.
Yes.
Get it?
Yes.
How's that going to happen?
Fat chance, Rebecca.
Oh, no.
And you've made your position clear. I mean, did it come to any further words than that?
No, just no more gas.
And that's okay. I mean, you don't mind, right?
Well, no. Daddy was doing the repairs, too, and paying for them.
Yes.
So that's no longer going to happen.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I mean, you made your decision. You said, I've made an adult decision.
Rebecca, how old are you?
I'm 22.
All right, already.
So.
That's it. Time to cut the ties.
I just graduated a month ago, though. Shouldn't this take a slower process?
Well, did you major in art history?
Economics.
Oh, you don't have a job either, then.
I do have a job.
You do have a job?
Oh, then that's it.
Well, Rebecca, I will do anything to intercede in your behalf if you'll do me a favor and call my son Louis and give him advice on how to sever the ties. Tell him to move out.
See, my brother just cut the ties, and he's 27. Don't I get those 5 years?
No, evidently not, because your brother was a wuss. Your brother was willing to kowtow. Your brother was willing to bend to your father's wacky will and fill out the stupid little book.
My brother was a biology major. He had
that explains
choice.
It.
Yeah, see, yeah.
No, you're an independent individual, Rebecca.
That's
you are
right.
Tough, and you can do it.
Yeah. And it's your choice.
I can hear her whimpering now. Look at my
kids. You're going to buy, I mean, in 2 weeks when you move to Atlanta, you're not going to send him bills for the gas.
Yes, she was going to.
Well, I thought it might happen.
Yeah.
I think for your own mental health.
Okay.
And in order to further your maturation process,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I think you must buy your own gas.
And you know this, too, because otherwise you would never have had the guts to respond to him the way you did when he said, Rebecca, you didn't fill out
the little book. And I think
You could have said, oh, gee, Dad, I guess I forgot, but I've got all the numbers right here in my head. Let me just jot them down. You could have done that, but no, you stood up tall.
Yeah, and look what
said,
it got me.
Father, dear.
I think your father, in his wisdom, has maintained the book for the sole purpose of getting you to closer to independence.
Ooh.
Okay.
You think he's got this all planned?
I think so. I think he's made the book a pain in the neck to the point that you will say, Daddy, I want to be on my own, and this
book is stupid.
Daddy, huh? He's never heard that one before. Maybe
he
I should try.
Yeah.
Hey, Rebecca.
Yes.
Good for you. Yeah. You did what you had to do. You're your own woman.
Okay.
Cut the ties.
Yeah.
So it's cut the purse strings, too?
Oh,
Do you still have the little book?
Yeah.
I was going to burn it. Does that mean I can burn it?
No, mail me the book.
I will mail you the book.
I need the book.
Benjamin Franklin's words.
I will give it to you.
There can be no freedom without responsibility.
Ooh.
And you did it. Good for you.
Okay.
See ya.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Woo! I'm exhausted.
Stupid little book. Why do people do that? I mean, come on.
I didn't
want to say it to her face, but her father's a wacko.
She's still listening.
No, well, why would you care?
We were discussing this the other day. We didn't even ask her what kind of a car it was she
doesn't
drove.
Matter.
It doesn't matter, but
You know what it is. This.
Yeah, it's a Honda Civic.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, have you ever seen anyone driving a Lincoln Town Car?
Writing down the mileage.
Books, I mean, if you cared about your mileage, would you be driving a Lincoln Town Car?
No, but if you're driving a Honda Civic, I mean, I would be willing to bet
you're
money.
You're predisposed to caring about your mileage and your money, obviously. So that encourages you to buy a Honda Civic and to make sure that you're getting your 37.66 miles per gallon.
Yeah, and if it changes to 37.64.
Oh.
What is going on? Let's get it fixed right away.
Lighten up.
Lighten up, will you?
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumph at the Greater Natchez Chili Dog Derby, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our document security expert from the island of Jamaica is Euripides Upman.
Hey!
Who is not related to
our
tailor.
He hasn't been around for ages.
Euripides Imenides.
What is it?
Or to our staff bouncer, Euripides, I break your face. Or to the proprietor of our men's clothing shop, Euripides Euonides. Our divorce attorney is Carmine, not yours. Our staff archivist is Bernadette File. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Aurovindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the multilingual barflies in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
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 We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our taste-efficient clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got a car that's long in the grill? The Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to your favorite NPR station. It's the good deed you've been looking for to help justify that new Lexus. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the three little pigs wish the big bad wolf would blow down our broadcast tower whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.